Well, good morning, and thanks so much for joining us here at Next Level Church. We're so excited that you have logged in and decided to spend your morning worshiping with us, and as we begin to open the Word together, I'm thankful for this opportunity. My name is Joseph McMurray, and I'm one of the pastors here at Next Level, and it's always a privilege for me to get to open the Word and share with you the message that the Lord has placed on my heart. We're walking through a series right now, just looking at our life and what does the Bible have to say about us and the way that we walk with the Lord. And as Pastor Clay shared last week, today we're going to be talking about friendship and what does the Bible say to us about friendship. Well, if you're anything like me, you may be able to recall moments in your past, and specifically in your later teenage years, when you encountered what I'll just call trouble, mischief, breaking the rules. I don't necessarily mean that you got caught doing something and ended up in juvenile detention, but maybe you did some things in those days that you were not proud of. Maybe they weren't the wisest of choices. Can you put yourself back in that scenario? I'm glad if you can't, but if you can, perhaps maybe there was some trespassing involved, possibly some theft, underage consumption, defacing public property, impersonating a park ranger, I don't know. I'm not saying that I was ever guilty of any of these things. I'm just trying to feed your memory bank to a time in which you might have made some poor choices. Now, if you can place yourself in such a situation, I would venture a guess that the common denominator in those poor decision-making scenarios was the influence of the friends you were with. I could name the names of those friends whom I followed into some mischief. But if you're anything like me, you may also be able to recall moments in your life in which you encountered some incredible moments of joy, seasons of growth, an unexpected helping hand, a letter of recommendation, some kind of blessing in your life. And like the scenario before, I would venture a guess that the common denominator in many of those scenarios was the influence of the friends you were with. I could certainly name the names of friends who have been a blessing in my life and who have led me to be a better friend, a better husband, a better father, a better Christ follower. We have people in our lives who could easily be identified as positive or negative influences, don't we? Maybe as adults, we view it less as positive and negative, and more from the perspective of, I respect and admire that person, or I would like to be like them, or I don't want to be anything like that person because his or her life is a train wreck, option A or option B. And certainly there are more options. But as we think about the idea of our friends and those with whom we surround ourselves, the reality is that we become like those we run with. If you were to consider your closest friends, their marriages, their relationships with other people in their lives, their career, their finances, would you want to be more or less like them? Now, I'm certainly not going to ask you to pass judgment on your friend's behavior or the way in which they approach life, but the reality is that if we look at your friends, we're likely to see your future. There's a passage of scripture in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20 that says, "Walk with the wise and become wise. Associate with fools and get in trouble." It's a pretty simple thought, but there's a lot of wisdom behind it. In fact, the writer of this verse, Solomon, is created as being the wisest of all the kings. When Solomon's father, David, died and Solomon became king, we read in 2 Chronicles chapter 1 and 7, it says, "That night God appeared to Solomon and said, What do you want? Ask, and I will give it to you. And rather than asking for wealth or power, in verse 10, we read that Solomon said, give me wisdom and knowledge to lead them, your people, properly. For who could possibly govern this great people of yours? And consequently, God said in verse 12, I will certainly give you the wisdom and knowledge that you requested, but I will also give you wealth, riches, and fame such as no other king has had before you or will ever have in the future. So it was this wise king, the wisest of all the kings, who said, walk with the wise and become wise. Associate with fools and get in trouble. Now, another way we could paraphrase this saying is this: getting friendships wrong sets us up for failure. Getting friendships right sets us up for success. So, how do we define friendship? The culture in which we live might define a friend this way. A friend is someone you may or may not know who accepts your friend request on Facebook. This person is born to like and comment on your posts and make you feel good about yourself. Now, the great thing about this definition of friendship is that when you get tired of seeing pictures of someone's feet at the beach or you get tired of reading about their political views, you can simply just unfriend them. In fact, you don't even have to go as far as unfriending them. You could just unfollow them so that they don't even have to know what an idiot you think they are. I would think we could all agree that this is not true friendship. But social media has redefined the meaning of the word friend. If you look at my Facebook page today, you'll see that I have 2,324 friends, which is ridiculous because clearly I don't have 2,300 friends. I have a handful of friends, and I have a busload of acquaintances, and I have a boatload of people that I may or may not have met at some point. But the reality is I could have 5,000 friends on Facebook and as many followers on Twitter and Instagram and be absolutely lonely. Before social media, no one called your friends to tell them about your breakfast. Now we post a picture of what we had for breakfast. Why? Well, lots of reasons, I'm sure. But one is that we've become obsessed with controlling people's perception of us through social media. It's dangerous. It's a dangerous trap that I must admit I have fallen into many times. We post a picture of ourselves or our kids or our adventures on Instagram, but it's really convenient that they provide filters and frames so that our pictures can be close to perfect. And we can get lots of likes and double taps and know that we have so many friends, so many people liking our posts. Yet the more we use social media as an outlet for friendship, the more we crave acceptance and seeing those little icons light up in approval. It can become addictive. And yet all of these friends can get in the way of having any meaningful relationships at all. Some sad statistics tell us that according to the American Sociological Review, the average American has only two close friends, and those numbers are declining. 25 years ago, the average American had six close friendships, and no one really seems to notice. In fact, now, those statistics say 25% of Americans have zero close friends. So why are friendships declining? It could be our increasing work hours. We're busy, certainly too busy for friends. It could be rising divorce rates. You know, when a couple splits, all of the parties are forced to choose one side or the other. It could be just the explosion of social media, which we've talked a little bit about And the list could go on and on and on as to why our understanding of or our experience with friendship is on the decline. Just as the wise king Solomon said, walk with the wise and become wise, he also said in Proverbs 17:17 that a friend is always loyal. A brother is born to help in time of need. Now, the use of the word brother in this sense, it's a poetic parallelism, meaning it doesn't necessarily refer to a family member. It describes a close friend, one who stands with his or her friend through times of trouble. Maybe you have experienced that closeness like a brother or a sister with someone who is not a blood relative but is there for you, or you have been there for them. Wouldn't you like to experience friendship like that? Not friendship that likes your post or likes the picture of your cat stuffed in a mason jar, but true friendship that encourages, true friendship that brings joy, true friendship that is there to help in times of need. So if you don't remember anything else that I say this morning, I want you to remember this, and I said it before. Getting friendships wrong sets us up for failure. Getting friendships right sets us up for success. If you have a Bible, I'm going to ask you to turn from Proverbs to the New Testament in the book of 2 Timothy in chapter 2, and we're just going to look at one verse, verse 22. 2 Timothy 2:22 says this: run from anything that stimulates youthful lusts. Instead, pursue righteous living, faithfulness, love, and peace. Enjoy the companionship of those who call on the Lord with pure hearts. This verse comes from a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy as Paul was growing close to the end of his life. Paul was a mentor to Timothy in the ministry, and there were things that Paul wanted Timothy to know concerning his pursuit of God. And this charge to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:22 was something that he wanted to make sure Timothy understood as he walked through this life in pursuing a deeper, richer, more meaningful relationship with God and in pursuing those same type of relationships with others. Now, this one simple verse, just verse 22, holds a lot of information. And when I read 2 Timothy 2:22, I like to think of it as scripture in motion, because the whole thing talks about movement. We're going to see three instructions concerning movement in this one verse of scripture. Paul tells Timothy and subsequently us, first, what to run from. Secondly, what to run toward. And then third, who to run with. So first, he tells Timothy what to run from. Again, 2 Timothy 2:22, Paul tells Timothy to run, or other versions say flee. This is not a casual turning away, but a run away from the youthful lusts, the things that cause us to be distracted, the things that cause us to be caught up or entrapped, to run away, not passively, but actively, as in get the heck out of there. Webster's dictionary says that to flee means to run away like from danger. This is the type of running away that Paul instructs Timothy when he says run from anything that stimulates youthful lusts. When I think of running away from something dangerous, I picture running away from a wild animal, like a bear. I've never been chased by a bear. I don't want to be chased by a bear. If you have, I'd love to hear that story and how you live to tell it. But I'm sure that conventional wisdom is that if you are being chased by a bear, at least I'm told, if you're being chased by a bear, you're supposed to play dead. Yeah, I'm sorry. But if I'm being chased by the bear, I'm going to die trying to run away from that bear. Have you seen that movie called The Revenant? I haven't seen the whole movie, but I have seen the bear attack scene, and there is not a chance of me trying to play dead when it comes to a bear. I may not be able to outrun a bear, but I would absolutely lose my life trying to get away from that bear. Now, the good news is that if you and I are hiking in the woods and we come across a bear, I don't have to be faster than the bear. I only have to be faster than you, which is why you will see me run and post those runs on social media so that I am in shape enough that if we're ever in the woods with a bear, I'll be faster than you. Paul tells Timothy to run away, to flee those things that would attack you, that would trap you, to run away from youthful lusts. Some of the things that we could place on the list of what we might call the things that Paul would tell Timothy to flee or to run away from, some of the things that we could place on that list are not bad necessarily in and of themselves, but when they are what control your life, when they're what keeping you, they keep you from making healthy decisions when it comes to your relationships with others, when they keep you from making healthy decisions when it comes to your marriage, when they keep you from making healthy decisions when it comes to your finances, your health, your children, your future, then there's a problem. And Paul says, flee from it. Run away from that danger. That's what to run from. Next, we see what to run toward or to. Paul says to pursue righteous living, faithfulness, love, and peace. Now, these ideas are things that we expect to hear about when we come to church or when we watch a service online. And it gets tricky because the basic message of the gospel, as you have heard us say before, is that there's nothing you can do to make God love you more, and there's nothing you have done that makes him love you less. However, there certainly are consequences for your actions and the product of sin is more sin. And when we're wrestling or struggling with a sin problem, the sin in our life is what is driving a wedge or a gap farther and farther between us and God. It's what drives a wedge farther and farther between us and the relationships in our lives. Whereas the product of the Spirit of God in your life is the fruit of the Spirit, which I'm certain you have heard me talk about before. When we are pursuing righteousness, righteous living, faith, hope, and love, and that deeper, richer, more meaningful relationship with God, then the evidence of that in our life are the things like love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. These are the fruit of the Spirit. And as we read in Scripture, against these things there is no law. The word that I absolutely love in this sentence is the idea that Paul tells Timothy to pursue righteous living, faithfulness, hope, and love. Pursue is a passionate word. It's the kind of word that I have a hard time saying without clenching my fist and squishing up my face. It's a pursuit. This is just like the word that we looked at before, the word flee or run away, in that it is not a passive word. A pursuit is an action word. It's an active pursuit. It's not just, oh, okay, whatever, I'll follow this or I'll chase that. No, to pursue means to use any means necessary to accomplish a goal. There is intentionality in a pursuit. Paul's telling Timothy to be intentional about chasing after a right relationship with God. Be intentional about chasing after living a life of peace and hope and love. If you've seen the movie Castaway starring Tom Hanks, there's a great example of pursuit. Tom Hanks' character wanted so badly to get back, to get off of the island where he was stranded and back home, that he was willing to do anything to survive. That's the kind of passion that you and I should have for pursuing righteous living, faithfulness, love, and peace. Finally, Paul tells Timothy, he's told him what to run from, and he's told him what to run toward. And then he tells him who to run with. Paul tells Timothy and us to run along with those who call on the Lord with pure hearts. See, it's important that you surround yourself with people who are pursuing the same thing as you. And here is a sad truth, and it's a sad indictment, that sometimes the right group to surround yourself with is not even a group of Christians, or at least not that group of Christians who call themselves followers of Jesus, but who have no evidence of the fruit of the Spirit in their life whatsoever. It's sad. But sometimes even we as Christ followers lose focus and we forget our relationship with Christ, that it's more than just walking down an aisle or praying a prayer or showing up at a building like this one on a Sunday morning. But following Jesus is a lifestyle. It's a passionate pursuit of relationship with our Creator, our Father God, who loves you and me more than we can possibly imagine, enough to allow his son to die in our place, to pay the penalty for our sin. The bottom line of learning who to run with is that you have to find a good herd. Find a good herd. Have you ever seen on the Discovery Channel or National Geographic a show about the migration of zebras or wildebeests in the plains of the Serengeti? And when you see these nature shows, the zebras or the wildebeests are pretty much just minding their own business, wandering through the plains, looking for the next place to get a drink. And if you've seen one of these shows, you've seen a dozen of these shows, and the same thing happens on all of them. The camera inevitably pans from the traveling herd to what? That one zebra who has lost focus. He got distracted by a butterfly. I don't know. But he got separated from the herd. You know what you call a zebra who gets separated from the herd during the migration on the plains of the Serengeti? Lunch. You need to find a good herd. Run along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But Joseph, you might ask, where can I find that? How can I find that? How can I be in those kind of relationships? Well, first, I'd like to make a suggestion. If you're in this place of knowing that you need to surround yourself with people who are pursuing the same things you are, one suggestion that I have for you is, and this is a shameless plug, but go ahead and jump online now and register for Connect Groups here at Next Level. We'll begin a new 6-week series in September, and no promises, but you just might find a good herd around a table at a Connect Group on a Wednesday night. Psalm 101:6 says, I will search for faithful people to be my companions. This psalm was written by King David. And in this psalm, it's about surrounding himself with those who will walk in integrity. So how can you do the same? Well, here's another thing, and this is probably an entire message all on its own for another week. But in order to find the kind of people you want to be around, you have to be the kind of people others want to be around. If your sole purpose of finding friends is for them to meet all of your needs, and listen to and fix all of your problems, then you're going to have a hard time connecting. It's important to find good friends, but it's also important to be a good friend. If you're having trouble making or keeping friends, it may be time for you to learn about or work on what it means to be a good friend first. But back to my idea, you need to find a good herd. So how do you find a good herd? How do you find good people with whom to surround yourself? First, look for the faithful. Look to surround yourself with people who are living consistent lives. You're not going to find people who are living perfect, sinless lives. Those don't exist. There is no one who is sinless. But maybe if you find some who are intentionally sinning less, you might find a good herd. Look for the faithful. Next, live with the faithful. Be present in your conversations with those people. Put your phone down. And listen, I'm preaching to the choir. I'm preaching to myself. Put your phone down. Be present. Be transparent. Allow others access to your life and hold each other accountable. Watch how they handle adversity. Watch how they handle triumph. Be there to mourn together and to celebrate together. Look for the faithful. Live with the faithful. Learn from the faithful. You'd be amazed at how much you can even learn from each other when you hang out with friends who are pursuing righteousness, faith, love, and peace. When you allow each other access to the real stuff that's going on in your life and what you are learning from those situations. We can learn a lot just by observing the way those other people respond to the situations that they go through as well. When it comes to friends and those with whom we choose to surround ourselves, we have choices to make. Years ago, I worked for a company owned by a multi-billionaire who owns many, many companies. He's the guy who owns the Cleveland Cavaliers. His name's Dan Gilbert. And in a live company event, I once heard Dan Gilbert say something that is clearly not biblical, but it makes perfect sense for life and friendship. And he said this. He said, the default setting is, beep, excrement. the expletive that means excrement. He said, the default setting is shh. Meaning in your profession, in your schoolwork, in your marriage, in your finances, in your relationships, if you are only willing to apply the default setting, that is, not make any adjustments, not make any improvements, not put forth any effort or intentionality, then the result is going to be the expletive for excrement. The default setting is excrement. And the result of the default setting without any improvement, adjustment, or intentionality is going to be the same. When it comes to friendships, we can be passive and take whatever relationships might drop into our lives, no pun intended, or we can be intentional. We can run away from unwise choices. We can run toward a life that honors God and run with others who are seeking to do the same. So as Solomon said, walk with the wise and become wise. Associate with fools and get in trouble. See, getting friendships wrong sets us up for failure. Getting friendships right sets us up for success. Let's pray together. Father, Lord, God, you are good. I praise you and I love you. God, we are not perfect. I am not perfect. And we admit that there's stuff in our lives that gets in the way of the amazing things that you want to do in us and through us. So God, I pray that we would grab on to what you have taught us through your word. That we would run from the things that get in the way of you. That we would that we would run from the things that seek to trap us and ensnare us and keep us from living that life of hope and love and joy. And we would run toward a relationship with Jesus. That we would run toward the love of Christ. We would run toward the peace that we find in knowing Jesus. And God, that we would run along with people we call our friends. That you would put people in our lives, God. Because I know that there are some listening to this message now going, yeah, that's great if you have those people already. Lord, I pray that we would trust you, that we would believe you in faith, that you would send people into our paths, that you would send us into the paths of others, that we might pursue a relationship with you together, that we might find a good herd and have those people to call our friends. Show us the faithful, God, that we might see them, that we might do life with them, that we might learn from them. God, I pray that you would bless us, bless this time together in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey guys, thanks again for joining us today. I appreciate you so much listening and being a part of this service. As we have been doing in this series, I want to read over you by way of benediction, James chapter 1, verse 22, that says, "But don't just listen to God's word, you must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves." So may you, as you exit this live stream or whenever you're watching it, as you go about your day and your week, I pray that you would do the things that you have heard. I pray that you would put into practice what the scripture says about running away from the things that would harm you and running toward a relationship with God along with those who are pursuing him as well. In Jesus' name, amen.